You appreciate these guys? Come on.
Well, good to see you. Good to see you. Good to see you. Good to see you.
Oh, gosh. Feel like you've been to church yet? Good Lord. Well, if you aren't excited yet, I just don't believe that you're not. I just don't believe there's anybody here not excited yet. So good. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen an altar call during announcements before. So good. I mean, that's just so good. So good. So good. He's back. Oh, I called Chris our secret weapon, but he's not a secret. There's nothing secret about Chris. He's just a weapon. He's just a weapon. So awesome. Well, tonight I want to share a message that is, you know, I've had some form of this message for a couple years. I'm going to share it some more, and it has to do with favor. There's just so much favor in the air. I mean, when Bill talks about there being money in the air, I mean, it feels literally like everywhere I've been recently, it feels like there's just a moment of breakthrough right in front of everybody. Everybody. It just feels like it's gonna, you know, it'd be like if you were leaning on a paper wall, you know, it just has that expectation everywhere. Everywhere I've been, there is this expectation of more connections with people, more resources for the vision and dreams, more opportunities for individuals, just new levels of anointing and you know, worship and musicians are just better. I don't know why. I don't know why that all just seems to all be happening. The preachers are just getting better. The quality of communication and relationships with the community is just over and over and over. You hear testimonies everywhere of this favor that is happening. And so I want to talk to you tonight. I've used this title before. And but I want you to, you know, I want to talk to you about the fact that God has given you favor, and He is giving favor in this moment right now. The time has come, literally, for favor to be something that everyone in this room is understanding how to wield your favor. It is so crucial that you understand that you were created for success, for favor, for being a blessing with the way that He made you. I spoke a message at the Leaders Advance about just the righteousness of God, which so completely sets everyone up to live from a place of love and belief. That's how we're living our life. We're living our lives from a place of love and belief, not from a place of indebtedness. As much as we are in debt, I understand that. Don't misunderstand. We are eternally indebted for what Jesus has done, and He picked us up and put us on a catapult. And he didn't pick us up and put us in a hole. And so it's so important that you understand that it is his earnest pleasure to launch you in the catapult of the kingdom, if you will. And it's built around this thing of favor. He has released to the body of Christ, to believers, to everyone, I think everyone, but people just don't know it yet. And that is, wow, I have the favor of God in my life and on my life. And when we look through Scripture and we see the favor of God, there's a couple of key repetitive definitions of favor, that it is a gracious kindness, that you would show your servant favor. And so there is this gracious kindness, which essentially means that you get blessed. You get blessed to the point to where people just go, wow, look at that. Look what's going on with you. I was with some friends, and they were telling me the story of this man who, he pulls up in the driveway in his car, and he's in South Africa. And his neighbor goes, oh my gosh, where did you get the brand new car? Did you get a raise? Did you win some money? Where did you get a brand new car? And the guy says, oh, you're not going to believe this. You're not going to believe this. He says, my family and I were up in whatever country is next to South Africa on safari. We went into a animal park. Wild animal park, and we pull in there, and as we come in, you know, it says roll your windows up. So we rolled our windows up, and we're driving along, and we're looking at all these animals, and there's animals there, there's animals everywhere, and pretty soon my toddler in his car seat starts screaming, and I turn, and a giraffe's head is in my car. The sunroof was open. I didn't think about shutting the sunroof. I would have. And there's a giraffe's head in our car, and I went to shut the deal, and I got the giraffe's head caught in my car. So this giraffe's head is banging around in my car, and then all of a sudden, I must have gagged him because he threw up in my car. This giraffe just unloads in this man's car. I got the giraffe's head out of my car, but we are unhappy. We are so unhappy. And so he says, I pulled back around to the gate where the guys, the authorities of the park are, and I said, hey, one of your giraffes just threw up all over in my car. What are you going to do? And they said, hey, yeah, we told you to shut all your windows. He said, you didn't say anything about a sunroof. And somehow he argued the technicality, and they went, okay, take your car down and get it cleaned. So he takes it down. He gets it professionally cleaned. And they're going back through the border, and they pull him out of the line, and they pull him over. And the dogs are going crazy over his car. And the guy is saying, a giraffe threw up in my car. And the guys are going, yeah, buddy, yeah. And the dogs are just all over this car. They're just all over it. So finally, they pull the carpets out. And then they pull the seats out. And then they pull the dashboard out. And then they pull the headliner out. And then they are cutting the seats open, and they have pulled the trunk apart, and they have totally disassembled the whole interior of this guy's car while these dogs are still going crazy over everything that they put their nose on. And then the captain says, did you say that they professionally clean this? Yeah. I said, oh, the same chemicals they use in those cleaners are the same chemicals they use in the trucks. My dogs are smelling the chemicals of the cleaning. He says, and so that's how I end up with a new car. So be careful how the gracious kindness of the Lord shows up in your life. You don't know where it's going to show up or how. I just wanted to set the bar as high as I could. The favor of the Lord is, it shows up in our lives in ways that are, that make us, they capture our attention. When favor is pointed at you, it captures your attention and the attention of the people around you. It's because it's not just for you. It's really that you would be a conduit of nourishment for the world around you. And so we have to learn to steward this gracious, elegant goodness that has been placed on our life, because it is really to benefit your community, your work environment, the places where your families touch, the community that you live in, your neighborhood. It's intended for heaven to be able to touch earth through how he designed you to be. It's favor on your life, and people around you will notice. You know, where is there an exuberant response to when you do something? You know, when you make a cake, who says, "Wow, this was an amazing cake"? I want you to understand that's favor on your life. That's the favor of the Lord on your life. It doesn't have to be because you have a microphone in your mouth. It doesn't have to be because you're the king of the mountain. It has to do because the world around you goes, wow. And that is something lit up inside of you. God has put on you favor in such a way that it grabs the attention of people around you. Where is this happening? What is it that you're doing that sparks a recognition of response from the people around you? Maybe just the way you keep your yard. I don't know. Maybe you make model trains or something, or maybe you got an amazing singing voice, or I don't know. But there's favor on your life, and the people around you are telling you, that's unusual. That's unusual. Where is that coming from? Favor is also going to be on your life where it kind of feels like things go timeless. When you do this particular part of your life, all of a sudden you enter this zone of effortlessness. It's like some people experience this with video games. Not me. I don't. I struggle through the whole thing. But some people just waste 3 days and don't even know it went by. Most of these people are single. But that feeling, they may have previously been married. No. That's why I don't play video games. I want to stay married. When you enter this place of favor on your life, it is as though you're being lifted out of effort. And it's something that you just want to do. It's just something that you get to do. Like, you can't even believe I get to do this again. I have a friend. We all have a friend. A bunch of us have friends. But I want to mention one in particular. Sue McDonald. Sue McDonald had a farm. No, she didn't. Sue McDonald, she came from Southern California to us years ago. And, you know, she came up here to retire in many ways. She's just, you know, she's done doing what she's doing in Southern California. And what she did there was she put on these huge weddings for movie stars and rock stars and all these. So when people get married in Southern California, like in Malibu or wherever, they get married, right? And they spend a bunch of money. Well, she is the wedding coordinator for these types of weddings. So she comes up here and she's just looking for stuff to do. She's just, you know, she's, well, you know, what, how can I help? Is there something I can, some event I can coordinate? And when you see Sue, she's just like, you know, hi, how's everybody doing? How's everybody doing? Hi, how you doing? How you doing? But when you see Sue at an event that she is in charge of, she puts on a black dress, and then it's like she's ice skating through the middle of the whole thing the whole time. You're like, wow. That's favor. Favor on your life. It just welcomes an effortlessness into what it is that you're doing. And you want to do it. You just want to do it. What is that on your life? It's also where the people around you, when they see you do something or they hear you say something, they go, yeah, amen to what you just said. Amen to what you just did. Keep doing that. Keep saying that. Keep going there. Keep talking to those people. Keep carrying that message. Yeah. Again, there's favor on your life. Earlier this week, I came in to a session. I heard Bill mentioning something that I had forgotten about, but it was when I was in my master's program, I was surrounded by people who vote different than I do. And they're kind of hostile about it, you know? And I'm one of 40 people in this class. Severely outnumbered. And this class lasts, this group stayed together for 3 years. And so anytime we got in a room, you know, and then every professor I ever had was voted the same way they did. And so, you know, I felt, you know, I was in the factory of acceptance and tolerance and non-judgmentalism. Unless you voted different than these people. And then you were the devil. You were the devil himself. So somehow I turned into the devil in this class. And I remember in particular one time I was asked to... We were all debating these things, and we were given two choices, and then you have to pick one, and there are teams. And mine was, is the human fetus human? And there was nobody on my team. Because I said, yes. And so it was me, and there was another lady, but she didn't say anything. And then there was this whole other side, and there were a bunch of different topics, but this was the one I got in on. And so I had the opportunity to, you know, put together some things, and I had a great time. And I'm not going to go into all that I said, but I essentially got up and I led them through the dehumanizing process that happened to the Jewish people in Nazi Germany. And the dehumanizing process that happened to African Americans in order to justify slavery. And whenever you dehumanize someone, you remove the laws that protect humans. And so I pointed out to them that the effort to dehumanize a fetus by calling it something but a baby and all these other things, and then I just had all these news clips that paralleled the dehumanizing process of those other times that had been used in each of those environments. At the end, I said, I watched my children at the beach the other day try to submerge a beach ball. And all three of them were on this ball, and they all got on it and pushed it under the water, and it disappeared. But that beach ball just kept struggling to the surface, and it wore them out. And they got off of it, and the ball popped to the surface. And I said, that is the spirit of truth. And no matter how many resources, no matter how many lies you pour on top of the truth, it's coming back to the surface. I said, we've been called to give a voice to the voiceless. Social workers, do your job. And these guys stood to their feet and gave me a standing ovation. Now, that was my first speaking engagement. I had never spoke in front of people like that before. And I thought, I don't know what just happened. But I really enjoyed that. I'm going to do it again. But you know, it's this interesting thing that other people see God's favor on you by the way it hits them, by the way it touches their life, by the way it affects the way they think, the way that the way they feel. They go, wow, that's the favor of God on you. Obviously you develop the skills and and we're going to talk about that. But I just want you to know that there is this substance that has been smeared on you and other people smell it. You're like, wow. I don't know if you know you're different or not, but you're different. What is that? What is it that God has put all over you that you affect my life? Like this, like heaven is trying to reach through to me. And you know it. You know it. When it lights up, you know it because you feel the pleasure of God when you're doing it. You feel it. You feel the peace. You feel the joy. You feel the power. You feel the life, and you have thoughts like this. I was created to do this. I was created for such a day as what just happened. What just happened? What's happening? What's going on? I'll tell you what's going on, is that the people around you are trying to say, would you please do that some more? Will you please keep doing that? I think it would be great if more people experienced you. Please don't stop. Oh, please get better at that. That was awesome. It's an invitation, the favor of God. It really is. It's a follow me invitation. And everybody's got something else, you know? Everybody else got something else. Everybody's got something different. I don't have the same stuff as a bunch of people around me, but it doesn't matter. I just have to do well with the favor that he's given me. Just do that. Do you well. Do you well. That's the invitation. Please. And what happens is there is an increase in the notice around you. Proverbs 3, we know Proverbs 5 and 6 generally, but let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Now, I know that having favor in the sight of man somewhere got a bad rap. I don't know where it's going. I don't need the favor of man. I don't need the favor of man. Favor of man, I don't need it. Shut up. You do need the favor of man. I understand that you're not man-centered. I understand that part. But the favor of man is part of the evidence of the favor of God on you. So don't, those are the people that leave comments on my Facebook page and I block them. I don't really care what anybody says. I'll tell them. Blah, 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 blah. Go tell all 8 of your friends that are left. Who haven't blocked you yet or something. It's just not true that you don't need the favor of man. And it is a gift. It is a gift of heaven that God opens up favor for you to influence the people around you. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. This piece of following favor, it requires that you trust him. It really does. And that you don't lean on your own understanding. That you don't go 2 and 2 equals a pension. Because then you end up in a spot where you live your whole life out of your favor. And then on your vacation, for 2 weeks, you go get to do why you were born. And then you go back to your own understanding. Acknowledge him. Acknowledge that he has placed a key in your hand to open doors that nothing but his favor will open. Acknowledge that he has created you to be uniquely that, you. And he's going to direct your path. It takes courage to walk in your favor. It will over and over bring you to a decision point. Are you going to lean on your own? You got this figured out? You got this? You got this figured out? You got this all figured out, do you? You got it? Okay. Yeah, it's really good money. It's what I'm going to do. It's got good money attached to it. I'm going to do it because it's got good money. Yeah. I'm going to hate it in just a little while, but it's got good money. Like, all right, well, pay attention. Say that out loud. Just say it out loud. Say those words out loud. You know, like, I can see where this is going. But it's got good money. Stop. Friends don't let friends just go do it for the money. There is such benefit to acknowledging who he's made you to be and letting him fashion that in you. And letting him move you in that. And being patient. Now, I don't mean quit your job. Don't hear me say quit your job. Okay, if you have a job, you need money. You need money and you need people too, okay? I didn't say go quit your job. But I am saying you're going to get to these decision points. And he's saying, will you trust me? Will you trust me? I mean, there are so many people in this room. So many people in this room who got to this spot and they said, oh, I don't know why, but I was born this way. I was born to go this way. Here we go. I don't know what we're doing. I don't know why we're doing this. But I can't do it for the money anymore. Obviously, just because you are pursuing the favor that he's placed on your life, you see it open up, you could feel it pulling you. It doesn't mean that it's all going to be chocolate and puppies, because you decided to, hey, I'm over here, Lord, I'm where you want me, I'm doing what you said, hey, okay, well, that's, brace yourself, because there's a process. There's a process that takes you through the growth and the achievement in favor, right? Like, so a lot of us, we're wondering, well, is this favor here? Oh, it worked. Oh, that's amazing. Ooh, she's shocked. She's so happy. And the horse? Well, Bill taught on worship this morning. My question is, how many bulls had to give their life for that moment? How many broken bulls are there as a result of getting ready for that moment right there, halftime on center court? You are trusting in the Lord and acknowledging, letting him direct. You are standing there. Go. Count on a bunch of broken bowls. Write it into your script. Because favor often leads to building capacity. Eric mentioned this earlier this week. There is a process where you hit your limit. You hit I'm gonna die. I can't get one more. I can't move. I'm gonna die. This is what single people say. When single people come to me and tell me, I am so busy and I'm so stressed, I can hardly not laugh. I can hardly not just chuckle. You have nobody to worry about but yourself. Don't tell that to any married people with little children. Don't even say it out loud. Don't even let that come out of your mouth. But it feels true. It's as much as I've ever had to do. I can't believe. You're just building capacity. You're building capacity. How many people got married and went, oh my gosh, oh no, was this the thing to do? Maybe I shouldn't have done this. Oh my gosh. You're building capacity. You're building capacity. All of a sudden, 1 + 1 = 0. And you don't get to be what you did. There's somebody up there going, ouch, hey, whoa. Getting married it'll grow you. Boom. You're like, whoa, whoa. And then you're like, okay, we got this. Okay, we should throw some children in here. We are preparing to be parents is a phrase that should be removed from the English language. Nobody's prepared for children. These little bombs come into your life. You did not know what you were capable of with no sleep and no clean clothes. You are building capacity. Why? So he can fill that capacity up. So he can fill that capacity up over and over and over throughout your life. That's these moments of growth and increase. I remember thinking, I know how to work hard. And then I cut a cord of wood. Have you ever cut a cord of wood? No. Then cut a cord of wood in the woods. Then cut three cords of wood in the woods. You know, you want to learn how, you don't even know what you don't know until you hit one of those opportunities. You're like, oh my gosh. You know, have you ever had to love someone in your family who's critically ill or chronically ill? You don't even know what it means to serve until you have someone in your home that is can't do anything without you. Do you know what it means to have? Do you know what it means to be starving? Do you know what it means to be that hungry? We use that language. I'm so starving. I haven't eaten for 2 hours. So starving. No, probably not. That's probably not classified as starving anywhere in the world, but right here. We have opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Because what's happening inside of us is this expansion of what it is that's happening right now. Right now, there is favor that is all over your life. And it's going to open a door right in front of you. That favor is a key. And you walk up to a door that you want to go into that room. You're like, I was born to go into that room. I was created to go into that room. And I have a key. I have a key. And you open the door and the door opens and the room says, come on in. Come on in here. Now that room is where you've wanted to be. You've wanted to be that and there. You know on the inside that, there are so many words. I've so many opportunities. I've practiced this so many different times. And now I have stepped into the palace. I'm in a place where these people have all this enormous capacity. I hope I brought mine. I hope I brought my capacity with me that moved me from here into here. Because favor is going to get me in the room, but it is building that capacity and filling it up with understanding and wisdom and skill and anointing. And that's what keeps me in the room. What keeps me in the room is I have learned my lessons well. I have become a learner. I have become a student. I have become a son. I've become a daughter. I've walked humbly. I have been willing to lay my life down. I have learned to love. And that capacity is growing and growing. And it's necessary to move from one place, from one level to the next level. It is essential that you've brought your lessons with you. They were given to you to prepare you for what your favor will invite you into. King David is just a beautiful example of this. King David is a shepherd boy. He's just a little boy out in the field, and Samuel comes to Jesse's house and says, "Hey, you know, the Lord told me to choose from one of your sons, so line them up." So he lines up his sons and he goes, "Is this all the children you have?" And Jesse goes, "Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, one of them's missing here. Which one's missing? David's missing. Oh, yeah. I forget about David all the time. David. Yeah, he's out in the field, but he's not it. He's not the one. Can't be David. Well, go get him." And when Samuel sees him, boom, that's the one. And the whole family says, "What? He's the one? He's supposed to be king? King of what?" And David's kind of... "I don't know what it is, but I know I'm special." And Samuel anoints him king, and he's still a little boy. He's still a shepherd boy, still out there. He's going to be king. He just can't wait to be king. And he's not. He's back out in the field with the sheep. Building his capacity. He's out in the field, building his capacity. He gets to bring lunch to his brothers one day, and there's a whole commotion going on. There's this big giant out there taunting the armies of Israel, and everybody's kind of shaking in their boots. And David's like, "What's going on? What's the deal?" And he's, "Oh, guys, they're scared of him. But the king said, whoever goes down there and gets him, his family won't have to pay taxes, and he gets to marry the king's daughter." And David said, "What was that second one?" What was that second one again? And he gets to marry the king's daughter. Really? Because, see, I'm supposed to be in the palace. So I suppose one of the ways to get there is through the king's daughter door. You know, I could get in there that way. What's that punk's name down there? And what is he shouting about? Because I killed a lion. And I killed a bear. And that's just about enough room to put that big mouth guy in. Because I can't wait to be king. It's in there. He knows it's in there. He's being pulled through time, through building capacity. This is what's happening on the inside of David. Why? So that he can step into that next room of favor, blessing, promotion. The very thing that's being offered right now, the very thing that the Lord is offering the body of Christ is the next door to walk through. And the lion and the bear got to be part of the last level to make us ready to step into the palace. Because there's many more levels. It just keeps on going, you know, like video games, right? The video game, the last level in the video game, you were the king of the world, remember? King of the world. You got through the whole level, you killed everybody, or whatever you did, you jumped over everything, or you slid under it, or you ran faster than it, or whatever you did, you made it through it, you got to the end, you beat the challenge, and the challenge was, I can't do this, it's too hard, because it keeps sending you back. Keeps sending you back. You keep going back to the beginning, and you got to go through again until you hit the big challenge at the end, and then it kills you again, and you have to go back. And you keep going through back, and you keep going through back, you keep going through, and you were like, and then finally you get to the end, and you finally master the challenge, this enormous challenge that has defeated you over and over, and finally you break through it. And you are now on level 2. Now, you are the master of level 1. And you walk into level 2 and you die. Like, what just happened? I was the master of level 1. I took 2 steps into level 2 and I died. Life is very much like a video game. We graduate from kindergarten in America. We graduate. We have a party every time we possibly can. So we graduate from kindergarten, and we go to first grade. And I was the master of colors and blocks. And now I can't read. And I go all the way through that experience, and I get all the way to eighth grade, and I'm the king of the school. We're the king of the, we're the toughest, fastest, most able-bodied. And we graduate, we go to high school, and we have no hair. And we just go through the iPhone. Yeah, I graduate from high school, and I'm the king of the world. I have to shave again. And I graduate, and I go out, and I have to start over again, over and over and over. This is the process of building our capacity. I have to be willing to do that. I mean, can you imagine the kids going, I don't want to leave kindergarten. I don't want to go over there. It's too hard. It's going to be too hard. I just want a color. Right, man. You know, I mean, coloring to school, especially, you know, you're in the lines. Way to go. Way to go. You know, we've killed your creativity. I'm just saying, you cannot shave in kindergarten. Okay, you cannot do that, and you cannot want that. But we get to level two in the video game, and we just like, I'm going back to level one. I'm going to go back to level one where I'm the master. I'm the master there, and that's where I'm going to level off. I'm going to live there. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to live at level one. I'm going to do it blindfolded backwards. Like, yeah, that's you're still on level one. And so we can't be afraid to graduate. We can't be afraid, and really this is it, to be uncomfortable. We cannot be afraid to have to trust again. Because as soon as we become the master of our favor, we forget what it's for. And we forget who is the master of our favor. And it's not us. We can't live satisfied in level one just because we do it without even trying. You know, Jesus increases in favor, which is, you know, kind of, if you think, oh, you mean like, God liked him more? No, favor isn't about God liking or not liking. You know, God gave you gifts, and he gave you what you have. He gave you who you are. He didn't give you that gift because he loves you. He made you who you are because he loves you. He made you because he loves you. But he didn't give you this gift because he loves you. You came fully equipped with this favor. Now, walk in it. Walk in it and watch what happens. And what happens is that wisdom, understanding, your favor with man and with God will increase as you build the capacity to live in your favor. And that's what Jesus is doing. He's 12 right here where the scripture is. He's 12. So let's hope there's room. And so, but that's what's happening is he's building capacity at 12. He's noticed for the favor that's on his life. At 12, he's in the synagogue talking to the rabbis at 12 going, hey, I think you got a few things to adjust to here. I'm like, who is this kid? And That's actually right. It's very good. That's very good. We like you, kid. You're going to hate me in just a little while. This is going to get so old for you. He increases because the capacity. He is faithful to build the capacity, and God is faithful to fill it. Over and over and over. That is what I'm looking for in the process of life. I am looking for the opportunities to increase the capacity. And it's a willingness. It's a desire to increase the capacity. Now, most of us, we enjoy, welcome the growing of capacity like this. Yeah, and I understand, but just keep in mind that you'll get over here and you're going to say, oh, that was awesome. I so needed that. I would never do that again in 1,000 years, but that was awesome. Relationships, vocational opportunities, finances, all these things are building that capacity and that strength in you. And it's vital that you understand who's behind it all. You know, we see Malachi 3. We've used this in our tithing messages. You know, bring all the tithes in the storehouse. Blah blah blah. And try me in this. And this is usually the scripture that we say now. You know, trust the Lord to tithe. He's telling you to test him in something. So go ahead and give us your tithes. But I want you to see that who is saying this? Who is saying, please know who I am. Please, this is the Old Testament. Please know who I am. I want to throw open the windows of heaven. I want to pour out more than you can handle. Please, would you just trust me? Would you trust me? The one who's asking us to trust him is asking, will you trust me to bless you beyond your wildest imagination? Will you trust me to do that? That's what this is about. That's what's happening. The favor that's been put on your life is attracting this capacity builder. Will you just trust me and see if I won't do exceedingly abundantly beyond your wildest imagination? This is who's asking you to trust him. He has laid tremendous favor on your life. Every person in this room gets in on this. But it requires that I step into and I'm willing to allow the edges of my boundaries to be pushed. And it feels like you're going to die. It just feels like you can't do this. I just can't do this. I mean, I don't remember what it feels like to be born. But I think it started there. There's such a, I'm not going to make it. What is going on? What are you people doing? And I've been in so many of those situations where there's just this, I don't think I'm going to make it through this. I don't think I can do this. And then I do. I lived through it, and I don't know how. But the message to everyone in this room is that he wants to pour out more than you could imagine. He just wants to pour out into the favor that he has given you. And so you're looking for that. Like, there are things in my life where I do feel the pleasure of God on my life. It's an intercession. It's in being generous. It's in loving well and loving deeply. It's in leading. It's in serving, which are the same thing. It's in song. It's in helping. It's where is it that you feel the pleasure of God on your life? Step into that. Welcome that. Understand that what he is doing in you through that place right there is he's trying to reach earth from heaven through you. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand together. All right. Put your hand on your heart. I just pray, Lord, that you teach us to see with our spirit eyes the favor that you've placed us in, that you've placed on us, that is capturing the attention of people around us. Give us ears to hear heaven saying, there it is right there. There's that favor I was talking about. Help us, Lord, to hear it. I pray that you block out every bit of false humility that would try to rip our favor off, that would try to shut us down from the greatness that you've called us into, the greatness that you've anointed us to walk into. And Lord, help us to see the key in our hand, the key of favor. We bless you. We thank you, Lord, for inviting us into this generation, into this season on the earth, that we get to be co-laborers with you right now. And Lord, we receive the blessing of increased capacity and its process. And we fill our mouth with praise and thanksgiving as we walk through situations with the hope, knowing that you want to fill the places of growth in our lives. You are preparing us for what it is that you're giving us. We pray that we be a blessing and a glory to you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. On our website, ibethel.org, we have our pastor's itineraries available. You may be visiting a place near you. Bill Johnson will be in Paris, France, May 14th through the 15th. Danny Silk will be in Byron Bay, Australia, May 15th through the 17th. Now we want to hear from you. If you have any prayer requests, you can email them to pastor@bethel.tv. Our team would love to pray for you. Be sure to send us your testimonies as well. We've recently heard a testimony from a man in New Zealand who had such bad seizures that doctors gave him a 1% chance of survival. After receiving prayer, he went back to the doctor and found that he has no abnormal brain activity, which is completely impossible because of his previous condition. He's astounded doctors, and a specialist is flying to New Zealand just to study him. We pray that if you have received a bad diagnosis, that the God of hope would heal you and restore you to perfect health. Thank you for watching Bethel TV and joining us and our Bethel family around the world. We hope to see you again.